I want us to go to the book of 1 John, if you'll turn with me, please, and the epistle of 1 John in chapter 1. Now, the old-timers called it Little John. That is, as opposed to the Gospel of John, which is some 21 chapters. The epistle of 1 John is 5 chapters, and it is the beginning of the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John epistles, which, of course, gets smaller the further you go. And the gospel, according to St. John, he finishes up acknowledging the fact that no matter how long he preaches, he can't tell it all. And then when he gets into 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he begins to talk to the people of God about the joys of knowing the Lord and knowing that they know the Lord.
Amen.
And having fellowship with the Lord and walking with the Lord. And I'm grateful for that.
Yes.
Some of you will remember that we began some 4 months or so ago in this chapter of the Word of the Lord in our series that we've been preaching. I guess you'd call this a series, along these same veins each Sunday in the preaching concerning this declaration made by each one of these persons in our chapters of the Word of God as we have gone along. We began in this same portion of Scripture, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the Word of life. That was our first text in these chapters and in these verses of Scripture that we began that first week back in February preaching on these declarations made. And today I want us to come full circle, and this probably will complete our series on this, along these lines of these I declare messages. And I want to try to share with you one more from the book of 1 John in chapter 1. If you found your place and if you are able and willing, I would invite you to stand with us. We'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord this morning from 1 John in chapter number 1. Beginning in verse number 3. And the Bible says, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments." I want to preach if the Lord will help me for a few moments this morning. I declare the marks of our fellowship. I declare the marks of our fellowship. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us. While we read the Word of the Lord here today, we've come full circle as we introduce this same passage as our text today is what we had in the very first message in this series. The beloved Apostle John began his epistle declaring unto us, verse number 3, he said, "We have that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you." Verse number 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you." And the old-timers, when something would be surprising or exciting or remarkable, would pause and say, "Well, I declare." And matter of fact, you got to say it just right in the right Appalachian accent to really get it down. It cannot be, "I declare." And Sister Trella and I had to have a conversation about that. She's not from around these parts originally. And you have to say it with the right accent to make it have the right impact. Well, I declare. And they never would actually declare anything. They'd just say, well, I declare, and then quit. And for them it was just a manner of speech. But for the Apostle John to declare was something serious, of serious business. He, in verse number 1, declared a message, that which was from the beginning. That's the first thing. That which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, and that which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. And he said, this is the word of life. That was the first message in this series. Next, we looked at the woman at the well. He could say, I declare a meeting. She met a man who changed her life and told everybody in town, come see a man which told me everything that ever I have done. Surely this is the Christ. And she could declare the meeting. The following week we saw a man born blind. It was asked, how did you receive your sight? The blind man said, a man named Jesus made clay and put it in my eyes and told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And I went and I washed and now I see him. They said, don't you know this guy's a sinner? He said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. This much I do know. Whereas I once was blind, but now I see. And he declared a miracle. I don't know what it is to be a woman at the well. And I don't know what it is to be the blind man, to have mud put in my eye, but I do know what it is to meet a man, and I do know what it is to experience a miracle and have my sight opened. We looked at every one of these, how that we saw in them a first-hand account of an experience with the Lord Jesus. In Jacob's fight with God, who wrestled with Jacob. Jacob fought God. Jacob was trying to defeat God. Jacob was trying to resist God. But God was not trying to defeat Jacob, but get Jacob to submit. And so though Jacob thought he was wrestling with God, God was really wrestling with him. We fight to defeat someone, but we wrestle to get them to submit, to cry uncle, to say calf rope. And my friend, eventually, Jacob did cry calf rope. He did say, Lord, I'll not let you go until you bless me. And God did bless him, and Jacob declared a match. He could defeat everybody else, but he couldn't whoop this one that wrestled with him that night by the riverside of Jabbok. He had faced God, wrestled with him, and lived to tell about it. The following week we saw blind Bartimaeus and how he declared mercy. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The next week we saw the Apostle Paul on Mars Hill beside the altar of the unknown God saying, I declare him unto you. I know who he is. His name is Jesus. And I declare the Messiah. The following week we talked about Joshua outside of Jericho, how he saw the captain of the Lord's host, and I declare a mighty man. And they followed the man with a sword in his hand and won the battle, and God gave them the victory. On Easter Sunday we looked at the bread of life, and I declare the manna. They said, it is manna. That means, what is it? They looked at it and said, it's a whatchamacallit. It is a thingamabob. It's a hickamajig. We don't know what it is. I declare it to be manna. What is it? But Jesus told us what it was. He said, it was the likeness of me. It was the foreshadowing of me. Your fathers did eat bread in the wilderness and are dead. But I'm the bread of life that's come down from heaven. And if you'll eat of me, you'll never die. The next week we looked at Psalm 19, and I declare his mighty works. It took us 2 sermons to get through that. The mighty works of God seen in Psalms 19. And I will declare, the heavens declare his handiwork. How we looked at Daniel chapter 4. I declare the mystery of the dream. All the soothsayers and the palm readers and the tarot card readers and the magicians could not declare the meaning of the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. The tree falling and all of that being hewn down and cut off at the ground and the beast gathering around it. But brother, they said there was one. Nebuchadnezzar said, one in whom the spirit of the gods lives in him. And he comes before the king. And he said, I'll declare the dream unto you, but said, there is but one God, and he rules in the affairs of heaven, and he rules in the affairs of men. And before God got done with Nebuchadnezzar, he declared the same thing. There is a God and only one. Hallelujah. The next week we looked into Hebrews 11, and I declare the mission. I mean to make heaven my home. And they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Well, I'm glad I'm on my way home. I'm glad I've got a country. I've got a place prepared for me. The next week we looked at Psalm 66, where the psalmist said, come and hear me, and I will declare what great things he hath done for my soul. I can tell you about what he's done for me in putting a roof over my head and shoes on my feet and clothes on my back and an automobile to ride in. But brother, that pales in comparison to what's really important, and that is what he has done for my soul. Praise God for what he's done for my soul. And we looked at that, I declare my soul's story. On Mother's Day, we studied Psalm 78. And I declare the manner of teaching to pass it along from one generation to the next. Don't depend on anybody or anything else to teach your children or the next generation. And don't just expect them to pick it up on their own or observe it by accident. But rather we are to teach it unto them and to instruct them that they may not be as the evil generations of their fathers were, who denied the Lord in the wilderness and provoked him unto anger. In 1 Corinthians 15, we declared the main thing, that is the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. We looked at two sermons in Psalm chapter 40. I declare the mercies of God, and then I declare his meditation towards me. If I were to reckon up all of his works and his thoughts toward me, they would be more than could be number. Should I declare them, I'd never finish telling the story. But I'm glad, though I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. And then last week we're in Psalms chapter 38. I declare mine iniquity. Now, the psalmist did not declare his iniquity as to be proud of his sin, but because he was ashamed of his sin. He confessed it before the Lord. He confessed it and he forsook it. That is repentance. That is the scriptural response to the reality and the understanding of sin. And we're come this morning to 1 John chapter 1, full circle right back where we began. I declare the marks of our fellowship. In verse number 3, he said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Why? That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We have the privilege of a father and a family. And we are endued with the blessings of fellowship with one another and with our Heavenly Father. The remainder of this chapter into the beginning of chapter 2, John expands upon the marks of fellowship that are given unto us. And I really just want to share four things with you in this little message this morning, and then we'll be done. Very, very simple preaching. And I'm going to try not to be long. I don't know if I can preach long anyway, but that normally don't mean nothing. And so you help us and pray for us as we look into the Word of the Lord. Sometimes not being able to preach long means I can't preach fast, which then it takes longer. Had somebody come by the door back a few years ago and they said, you preach way too fast. I can't keep up with you. And a few weeks later, she come by the door and she said, you know, I thought this morning we never were going to get done. Says, I went a little bit longer than what I expected this morning. I said, which one do you want me to do? Preach slow or short? I mean, I don't know that I can slow her down and finish up faster. And so this morning, if the Lord will help me, I'll preach fast and you listen fast, and it'll be shorter than what it would if I preached slow and long. And so this morning, there are really four things I want you to know in these marks of fellowship. First of all, the scope of our fellowship, and then we'll look at the sign of our fellowship, the separation of our fellowship, and the sanctification of our fellowship. Let's begin this morning in the Word of the Lord, declaring the marks of our fellowship with the scope of our fellowship in verses 3 through 4. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The capacity, the extension, the sphere of our fellowship is defined. He said, if you hear what we've declared, you can have fellowship with us. I'm glad I have fellowship with us, with the church, with the people of God, with one another. Our fellowship is, as saints of God, with one another. Matter of fact, the old time Baptist churches, whenever they would meet for our business meeting, call for church conference, the first question they would ask in their order of business is if everybody is in full faith and fellowship. If you were not, it was time to make acknowledgments before the church and get things right. How we can have fellowship one with another. If you'll get right with God and right with your brother, then we can have fellowship. And oh, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In verse number 3, the Apostle John shared the gospel with others that they might be able to fellowship with him. I love you if you're unsaved this morning. If you've never been made right with God. If you've never been born again. If you've never known the Lord. I love you. But we really can't fellowship with those who don't know Christ. We can be friendly. We can be kind. We can have a meaningful, enjoyable relationship. But there's no true fellowship in the soul between believers and unbelievers. You see, my soul belongs to the Lord Jesus. He bought and paid for me at Calvary. It does not belong to me. It belongs to Him. And this morning, if you've never been born again, you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father will you do. And I didn't say that. Jesus said that. And I love you, and Jesus loves you, and He wants to save your soul. And if you'll receive the gospel, you can be a part of the fellowship. The reason why you come to church when you don't know the Lord and you feel like somebody on the outside looking in is not because the people down there weren't friendly to you. This bunch around here will stand in line to shake hands with you. You'll probably get tired of shaking hands. And before you leave, we're going to love you. And if you let us, we'll make you delay before you leave. Hey, you try to leave like it's a jailbreak and there'll be people standing in the way trying to stop you. I mean, we love you. We're glad you are here. But if you've never been born again, you just can't know what it really is to fellowship with us. I mean, while we were singing, it's different now. Oh, so different now. I went to church one day to hear him sing and pray, but that preacher firmly plowed the gospel plow. He said, you must repent. And down the aisle I went. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. And everybody in here who's born again by the grace of God knows exactly what that was talking about. And all of those who are here who are unsaved, I would need to know and need to experience that. And you can this morning. And when you do, we'll fellowship with you and get excited and praise the Lord. And we'll be happy with you for what the Lord has done in your life. But until then, there is a difference in where your life is and where we are. And the thing that really cranks your tractor just don't do it for us. And the thing that really fires us up just does not do it for you. I mean, what this world gets excited about just doesn't make me excited. I mean, friend, it just does not do it for me. Brother so-and-so, Mr. so-and-so, this one and that one and so forth, that puts out their new recording or such and such, that puts out his new album. I don't even know if they call them albums anymore. I remember when they had albums, you know, you could hear album hiss onto the thing from the needle whenever it go round and round on the turntable. And some of y'all don't even know what a turntable or an album is. But you ought to know, it'd be good for you, it'd help you. And if you come to the house, I can show you a bunch of them. Amen. Praise God. And let you hear some real good music on it too. Have things like heavenly honey. Only God supplies. Have stuff like every day will be Sunday after a while. I mean, and you can hear the record hiss on it whenever that thing spins round and around 33 and a third RPMs. I mean, it'd be good for you. Oh, but I don't know who it is that's putting out the newest albums or the latest songs or whoever the latest musical artists are. I do not care who is putting out the latest stuff from Hollywood and whatever it is that they're spewing out these days. That does not do it for me. But now, if you want to talk about a baby in a manger, I'm all ears. If you want to talk about a bleeding Savior on a cross, I'm right there with you. You want to talk about an empty tomb, I get excited. If you're talking about a revival meeting, I want to know where it is and can I go. I mean, friend, the things that really does it for this world don't do it for me. But if you're saved, you and I share the same place with the Lord, and our fellowship is with one another. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14 said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath the light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are of the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come up from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." The scope of our fellowship is with one another. And then the scope of our fellowship is in the Father. It is in the Father. He says in verse number 3, "That which we have seen and declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father." And when we begin the model prayer that Jesus taught us to pray by our precious Lord as our instruction on how to pray, we say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." This relationship between God and his children is the undergirding thing of the epistle of 1 John that is written, that we may know that we have eternal life. At chapter 3 of this epistle, he said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purified himself, even as he is pure." Our fellowship is with the Father. Praise God. A man has been separated from God by his sin, but thank God, and the Lamb forevermore, Jesus came, that you might be restored unto fellowship with God. How God walked with man in the cool of the day before his sin, but now man can no longer walk with God because he's in disagreement with God. But Christ came to reconcile us unto the Lord. And so now we can have fellowship with the Father. Amen. I remember when I was a boy, and it's kind of hard to acknowledge this, but every once in a while, I did not do everything that my daddy told me to do. I mean, once in a while, I was almost a perfect child, but I once in a while would not do everything that my father told me to do. And he'd leave us at the house, and we stayed alone a right smart when I was a boy. We stayed alone a right smart. Not always were our parents at home, but every time Mom or Dad or both would leave the house, they would leave a list for us to do, things to keep us busy. You did not use words like bored around my daddy. A board was something he'd take and whoop your behind with. Amen. Oh, friend, you didn't get bored around the house, because daddy would put you to work if you were bored. And so he would leave a list of things for us to do. And as soon as what he would leave, I thought, wow, now is the time to go hit a ball or shoot a gun. And now is the time to chase frogs and lizards and snakes. And now is the time to do all the fun things instead of having to do all those things on that list. And I'll get to them later. And I'll get around to it later. And eventually it'll come around and mess around. We'll get to it. And my daddy is slow, slow, slow. He always has been. And it'll be a long time before he gets back. And I'll get to it later before he gets back. But inevitably I'd lose track back of time. And my daddy, well, he had these torches that hung on the back of his truck, welding torches. And in that rough driveway, whenever he'd pull in, that truck would wobble and shake this away, you know. And you'd hear the clanging of those welding torches at the end of the driveway. And it would be like the ringing of a bell of judgment. It would sound the alarm in my heart. He's home. I've not even started on the list. And brother, there's going to be a price to pay. I was not running out there to meet him at the driveway, excited to see him in close fellowship. Matter of fact, I was trying to find a place to get busy, look busy, get in the middle of something busy, and hope I didn't get in trouble. Fellowship had been broken by my disobedience. Are you listening to me this morning? Some of you that are here, your problem is you know you're not doing right. Your problem is you know you're not right with God. And you don't have fellowship with the Father because you're living a life of disobedience. And God, my friend, realizes that. He knows that. And He sent His Son, Jesus, to deal with your sin problem that you might get things right with Him and be restored in fellowship again. And my daddy would whoop the fire at us. That's how He would deal with the disobedience. And to use His words, He would say, I'm going to stomp you as long as I can find you. And He meant business about it. I mean, friend, He would whoop us. And He'd say things like, this is going to hurt you worse than it's going to hurt me. I didn't get that backwards. He never told us it's going to hurt me worse than it hurts you. He said it's going to hurt you worse than it does me. I'm not the one getting the whipping. You are. And I enjoy whipping youngins. And He said it's going to hurt you worse than what it hurts me. And then He'd whoop the fire out of us. But after He whipped us, it was all over with then. He wouldn't fuss and He wouldn't yell. He wouldn't harp on anything. After He whooped us, He'd hold us close, love on us, treat us like somebody. It was all over with, and fellowship was restored. But listen, Jesus took our whipping for us on Calvary. And if you'll put your trust in the precious, darling Son of God, you can have fellowship restored with the Father, and you and the Father can have, my friend, a walk together and knowing one another in the free pardon of sin and the restoration of your fellowship with Him. The scope of our fellowships with one another, it is in the Father, and it is through the Son, according to verse number 3. Truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Our access to God is Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We pray to God, the Father, through God the Son, and in God the Spirit. Our only eternal hope is God Almighty, and our only access to Him is His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was God who was made a man to bring man into a right relationship with God. And now there is a man sitting at the right hand of God, the Father interceding for us. And through Him we have fellowship with the Almighty. Praise God, we are His. And my friend, in God, or with Christ, in God, we are made a part of the Beloved. I am with Christ. I am in Christ. I am a living through Christ. And the life that I now live, I am the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And so the scope of our fellowship is through the Son, Jesus Christ. I feel like I need to hurry this morning, but I want to say this before I hurry on and hasten on and to our next point here today. I think about that little boy. I was looking with my kids at something on some sort of silly video the other day on YouTube, and I forget what all was going on. Three Stooges, that's what it was. It was the Three Stooges, and they had gone to the fair and were selling tickets and so forth, and they ended up coming across a bunch of tickets by accident. Had the roll of tickets had fallen out the window. And they were selling them for half price, even though they didn't have any entitlement to them at all. And it made me think about the story of the little boy who went to the fair. His daddy had plenty of money, and he bought his boy a whole roll of tickets. Now, we never went to the fair, and if we'd have went to the fair, my daddy wouldn't have bought them tickets. He's a tight. He wouldn't have done that. He'd have said, son, we're not wasting money on that garbage. We're going to go do something else, like find a hot dog and maybe a Coca-Cola. He'd spend money on something to eat, but he wouldn't have spent money on garbage. Here's what he'd have called it. But that daddy bought a whole roll of tickets. And he gave his son, or tore off a whole long roll, a list of them, gave them to his son, and said, now when you need more, come back and get some more. before. That little boy would ride, play games, come back, stick his hand out. That daddy'd put more tickets in his hand, and he'd take off running. Finally, there's another little boy that comes along that is not his son. Had saw that other little boy putting his hand out, he put his own hand out. He said, "You don't understand, son. These tickets are not for you. They are for my son. I bought these for my boy. I didn't buy them for everybody. I just bought them for my son." About that time, his son come along, put his arm around that little fella's shoulder, said, "That's all right, Daddy. Give him all the tickets he wants. He's with me." And the father laid the tickets on him. That's the way it is for all of us who are saved by God's grace. Through his son. The son comes along, puts his arm around us. We pray, "Lord, I'm poor and needy." We pray, "God, I can't help myself." We pray, "Lord, forgive my sin." And the son puts his arm around us and says, "Father, he's with me." And God the Father answers the prayer of God the Son. And he blesses us and hears us when we pray. He is our intercessor. Our fellowship is through the Son. Our fellowship in verse number 4 is filled with joy. He said him these things, "Right I write we unto you that your joy may be full." If you ever truly realize what you have and who you are in Christ, you can't help but be filled with joy. 1 Peter 1:8 said it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise God. So you ask me why I'm happy, and I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, my fellowship is a joyous fellowship. I don't want to ever be like the old boy. The little old boy went to church, come back home, just fixing the meal. He didn't like what went on that day. The church service was boring. Everybody there was dead. He went on out to the barn and fed the mule. Old gray-haired mule stuck his old long face out in front of that little boy, chewing up the food that he had put in his bucket. That old boy looked at that long face of that old sad-looking gray flop-eared mule. And he said, "What's the matter, Mr. Mule? You get religion today like the rest of them. I don't ever want to be that way. A religion that makes you sad and upset and puts a frown on your face all the time, it's not salvation. It's more akin to indigestion. Born-again people ought to have a smile on their face. Happy is the people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is the people whose God is the Lord." I'm saved. I'm heaven-bound with a hammer down, and I am happy about it. I've said it a million times. I'm going to say it again. You run out the door this morning. Go up and down the road in whichever direction you want to go in. You find somebody out there, whatever it is they're doing. Riding motorcycles, going to the flea markets, whatever it is they're doing. You find somebody out there that's more excited about whatever it is they're excited about than what I am excited about Jesus. You bring them to me, and I want to shake their hand and to my friend meet them. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, I'm happy I'm saved. Almost 34 years I've been born again. 34 years ago this week I was in trouble. I was a week away from being saved. 34 years next Sunday since I've been born again. Praise God. 34 years ago right now I was in trouble. But hallelujah, it is different now. Oh, so different now. The scope of our fellowship. And then the second thing we see this morning is the shine of our fellowship. In verse number 5, he says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." We don't operate in the murky darkness of uncertainty and ambiguity. Have a fellowship with the Heavenly Father is a path of brightness and clarity. Everything makes better sense when viewed through the lens of the sovereignty of Almighty God. Proverbs 4:18 said, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." I'm glad I've got, my friend, a pathway to walk where his love lights the way for me. I'm not stumbling about in darkness. I'm no longer blinded by the things of this old world. But I have a shine. I have a light. My friend, I have a joy in my fellowship with him. Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse number 5 said, the sign of our fellowship is complete light. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. God is not standing somewhere in the shadows. Though I like that song and understand the metaphor about misunderstood places of life, but fellowship with Him is in perfect life. James chapter 1, verse number 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of life, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is perfect life, and in Him there is no darkness whatsoever at all.
You ever notice the world wants to talk about the shades of gray? They want to talk about the situational ethics. They want to talk about a little bit here, a little bit there. Well, this is an uncertain area. Hey, you ever notice God does not deal in that? Oh, that's right. The world wants to talk about how much bad you can do and get away with it. But you know what He said happens to you when you get filled with the Holy Ghost? My friend, you get filled with the Holy Spirit, and there's the fruit of the Spirit that happens. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Remember the Thomas told us this morning, how when they write the law books, they don't even deal with those things, because they can't make laws against that. How the law has to deal with all those shades of gray. The law has to deal with all of that, because they're all tainted by some degree of darkness. But when you walk in perfect light, there's no darkness at all. Praise God. His word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. It's a light, a complete light. And then it is a contrasting light in verse number 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. When we say God is light, that is in contrast to where there is darkness. Without God, there is no light. Until He said, let there be light, darkness ruled the world. But when He said, let there be light, there was light. Until He came as the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world dwelt in spiritual darkness. He told the disciples that He was the light of the world. Isaiah 9 and 2 said the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. 2 Peter 2 and 9 said that you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Praise God of the contrasting light. I can say I have seen the light. I can say His love lights the way for me. Praise God for the shine of our fellowship.
Amen.
If you know the Lord, there's a light that's shining in your path. There's a light guiding me all the way to heaven's glory. Praise the Lord. The shine of our fellowship, it is a complete light, a contrasting light. It's a cleansing light in verse number 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis said over a century ago, sunlight is said to be the best of disinfectants. I would say even more so, S-O-N light works even better. The blood of Christ washes us within, and our fellowship with Him walking in the light cleanses our walk. My friend, I am cleansed on the inside by the blood, but it's the light that teaches me to walk in the right way. And now I am to walk worthy of the vocation whereunto I have been called. So not only have I been cleansed on the inside, but now I'm to live a daily crucified life, seeking to be better and seeking to be holy before the Lord. Seeking to live holy before the Lord. The separation of our fellowship, number 3. Verse number 8, look at what your Bible says. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Some have once walked with God, but today they're following from afar off. My friend, they have turned in their fellowship, and they've returned into the weak and beggarly elements of the world. Verse number 8 tells us about their deception of themselves. The deception of self in verse number 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Anyone who thinks they are something when they're nothing is deceiving themselves. We need to see our sin as exceedingly sinful, and to see
God every day for a closer walk and a truer heart. This morning, if you're seated on the pews, have said, I don't know why I keep talking about sin. I don't have any problem with that. I'm doing okay. I'm all right. You're deceiving yourself. You're kidding yourself. One night, I was seated with some folks at a table, and they said, you know, I hadn't had to ask the Lord to forgive me of anything. I thought, no, you don't have that quite right. You may not have asked the Lord to forgive you anything, but that don't mean you haven't had to ask the Lord to forgive you. You just haven't done it yet. The fellow who was our president just before this, current dementia patient was our president. The one just before that said in the Family Leadership Council interview in 2015 in the Iowa caucus, when they asked him what it was that brought him mama before the Lord, he said that I have never asked the Lord to forgive me of anything. I've tried just not to do anything wrong. It doesn't matter to me if he's your favorite president, your favorite politician, or your favorite idol. If you've never asked the Lord to forgive you of anything, you're lost. You're on your way to hell. You are unsaved. Brother, we need forgiveness from the Lord. We need forgiveness. The deception of self. Anybody who thinks they have no sin is deceiving himself. And then there is the disposition of sin in verse number 9. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is one way that's sure to offer deliverance. Psalm 130 in verse number 4 said it this way, there is forgiveness with thee. If you don't know what it is to have your sins forgiven, if you've never been born again today, I want to let you know Jesus came that your sins may be forgiven, that your heart may be right with God, that you may know the Lord, that you may have fellowship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. The disposition of sin, the separation of our fellowship, seen in the denial of the Savior in verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. To pretend we don't need the Lord to forgive us, we deny His reason for coming to earth. To say we have no need of the Savior is to call Christ a liar when He tells us why He was sent from heaven in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I mean, friend, what do you need a Savior for if you've done nothing wrong? What do you need saving from if you've done nothing wrong? How is He going to be your Lord when He came to save you from your sin and you will not acknowledge what He came for? I mean, He came because you've got a sin problem, because you're not okay on your own. But He came to make your life new and different and changed and eternal and abundant and everlasting. The separation of your fellowship will continue until you confess your sin before the Lord. Then I want you to see not only then the scope and the shine and the separation of our fellowship, but I'm finishing with this, beginning to finish. The satisfaction of our fellowship. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. He said, my little children, these things are right unto you that you sin not. You ought not to sin.
Amen.
Sin's wrong and you ought to quit it.
Yes.
You ought not to sin. Sometimes we act like you just got to. You don't have a choice. You just, I don't know, it's like getting a rash. It just sort of jumps on you sometimes. Getting stung by a bee just happened to you. You didn't do anything to deserve it. It just sort of come along. Devil made you do it. World made you do it. Whatever. It just sort of come along and got on you. But I'm telling you, we ought not sin. You have the capacity to say no to the devil. Now, you don't all the time, and neither do I, and I'm ashamed of that, and you ought to be ashamed of it too, and we ought to straighten up and quit the sinning business. Amen.
Amen.
My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any of you sin, notice he said, you ought not to do it, but when you do, and if you do, and when you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And I like the way John writes it. When he said, if you sin, if any man sin, we have an advocate. You know why it's important for John to say, we have an advocate? Because John's counting himself in the sinful number. The number that needs an advocate. The number that ought not to sin, but sometimes does and is ashamed of it and needs help for it. And he said, you know, every time I've done wrong, I realize because I have an advocate, I have a person, I have a man by, have the right hand of the Father, have that there is but one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's a man in heaven representing us before God. As Christians, we are the Father's children, and as those under the care of this apostle, he expressed his love for them as a father would his children in the faith, and he wanted them to know and us to know what to do when fellowship is broken, how to keep it fresh, how to stay near the Lord, how to be satisfied in our walk with God and with his people. And it begins with recognizing that we have an advocate that pleads our case. When you find yourself at a distance from God, know you have someone representing you before the Lord. He can bring you again into a close relationship with the Father. You may feel far away from the Father, but your advocate is seated at his right hand. You may be a long ways from God this morning, but Jesus is right next to him, and he's calling for you to come unto him. Oh, you that labor are heavy laden, and he'll give you rest. I'm satisfied with my advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in a right relationship with God this morning, Brother John Michael, not because my last name's Powers or because I've been doing so good, but because I have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has brought me into that place of fellowship, and now I know him in the free pardon of sin. So I'm satisfied in my advocate. I'm satisfied in his appeasement. Verse number 2, he said, and he's the propitiation for our sin, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation means atonement or expiation. Webster's 1828 defined it this way: the act of making satisfaction for an offense by which the guilty is done away, and the obligation of the offended person to punish the crime is canceled.
Y'all didn't even pick up on that. Propitiation means atonement or expiation. Word of the day, Brother Randy, expiation. Webster's 1828. I'll help you spell it later. Webster's 1828 defined it this way: the act of making satisfaction for an offense. You have offended God. This whole world seems to be offended by God. The Lord is not even wringing his hands or taking nerve pills in heaven, worried about whether or not you're offended by him. Amen. You have offended God. Amen. That ought to bother you. The act of making satisfaction for an offense. To have a propitiation for our sin is to satisfy the offended party, by which the guilt is done away, and the obligation of the offended person to punish the crime is canceled. In other words, the debt has been paid, and it's no longer the responsibility of the one who has been offended to levy judgment or punishment upon the offender, because the price has already been paid for. And Jesus is our propitiation, our atonement, our expiation. He has satisfied the offense. He has satisfied God. God is no longer under obligation to put wrath upon us for our sin, for Christ has paid for the so, friend, he's become our propitiation, satisfying God's wrath and justifying the holy God and showing mercy on the guilty sinners. Have the songwriter said it this way: my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious song, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, I'm telling you, he has paid for our sin. Satisfaction in our fellowship, it is in our advocate, it is in our appeasement, it is in our agreement with him. In verse number 3, and we're finished. Verse number 3 said, and hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. We have come to accept that God is right, and his children are in his fellowship, and we seek to please him. Repentance is coming to agree with God. I wonder this morning, do you agree with God? While you walk in your sin and you say no to the Lord, you are in disagreement with God and you are treacherously walking upon the dangerous grounds where the mouth of hell will open and swallow you up if you don't repent of your sin and beg God for forgiveness. You cannot do wrong and get by. This morning the Lord's not asking you to pay for your sin. Jesus has already done that. This morning Jesus, the Father, is not asking you to do enough, give enough, be enough to get rid of your sin. He's asking you to agree with God.
Amen.
Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Remember what He says in Isaiah 1? Come now, let's reason together.
Yes.
God says, I'm reasonable. You've got major problems and I don't. But I'm willing to be reasonable. Come now, let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, be white as snow. How are they going to get that way? How are you going to get to a place where you're reconciled to God? Jesus has paid it all. And now, you know what you have to do? When He says, come, you say yes.
Amen.
And you get an agreement with God. Lord, I agree that I'm a sinner. I agree that I ought to die lost. But Lord, I also agree that Your Son died for my sins.
Amen.
Was buried, and on the third day He rose again.
Yes.
And He wants to save me, and Lord, I'm believing Him for that. I agree with You that I can make heaven my home through the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's how simple it is to be saved. It is to come into agreement with the Lord. And you know what? I'm satisfied in this agreement. I'm satisfied in this agreement. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad I'm in the family of God. I'm finished preaching. Come on with a song if you would please. I wonder this morning, are you in agreement with God? You know, the Scripture said in the book of Amos, can two walk together except they be agreed? I declare the marks of our fellowship. Are you in a right relationship with your Heavenly Father today? Are you hearing the clanging of the torches? The ringing of the bell of judgment as God is nigh unto His second coming. As our Lord one day will split the eastern skies and we all will stand before the Lord and give an account for the things done in this body, whether they be good or evil.
Yes, everyone.
Are you satisfied to meet the Lord one of these days? Are you pleased with where you stand before the Lord? If you meet God just like you are right now, without a second to prepare, are you satisfied just like things are? Have you ever asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart? Abide in your life. Be your Lord and King and Savior. Child of God, are you walking nigh unto Him? Are you at a far distance following afar off? Has it been a long time since you felt the warmth and fellowship of God's sweet Spirit in your life? Do you know what it is to be able to read your Bible and get fed from it? Or are you at the place right now where these are just words on a page and these songs we sing are just music? The preaching is but an echo in the air. Your mind's 1,000 miles away. Oh, how you need to find a place in this altar and draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh unto you.
Amen.
Saved or lost this morning, if you need to pray, these altars are open. I'd ask you to be obedient to God. Everybody stand, please. She's singing a verse of invitation. If you need to pray, I'd invite you to come. Our fellowship, we declare, I declare the marks of our fellowship. You can know what it is to walk nigh unto God and have fellowship with God in Christ, with the brethren, full of joy. If you need to pray this morning, these altars are open, you come. Do business with the Lord.
Have you a heart that's weary?
Would you be sensitive to the Lord this morning? Come and seek after Him. Find a place here to pray. The Lord hears and answers prayers and He'll help you.
From the burden
He cares about your cares today. Explanations to satisfy him on that day. Only the blood of Christ will be sufficient. There'll be no way to talk your way out of what you are. Death will not make something out of you that you are not. It will seal what you are. If you're not ready to meet the Lord today, I beg you to get things right with God. She's singing another verse. You need to pray. Would you come? Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Let God speak to your heart today.
Where is your heart, O pilgrim?
Who is your heart right with God?
Each time you cry.
Are you satisfied where you are with the Lord?
Who knows your every
Are you as close to God as what you've ever been?
Who dries the tears?
There's never been a time in your life you've been closer to the Lord than what you are this day. You're
back. Do you know?
And you need to draw nigh to Him. We're starting revival meeting. I sure wouldn't want to wait for Friday to start that meeting.
And that He will abide.